Welcome, everyone, to this live radio variety show flowing forth from the cosmic radio receptors of KCRW LP 100.7 FM, located in lovely coastal Brookings, Oregon. My name is Dr. Gigi, and you are tuned into this week's edition of Doc and...
Jacques.
That's right. Hello, Jacques Wolf-Kepner. How are you?
I'm great, Dr. Gigi. I'm feeling finer than a defeated 49er. Yeah. Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning into our radio show. It is Wednesday, February 14th, 2024, otherwise known as Valentine's Day. I was nearly arrested this morning, Doctor, for stealing your heart. I got away with it, though. Every Wednesday afternoon between 4 and 5, you can expect an informative, fun hour of live on-the-air acrobatics.
Well, we'll see about that, Jacques Wolf. We will start each week's show with a medley of fascinating statistics and facts blended in with some medical info that can affect our health.
And after the good doctor dispenses her medical wisdom, we will introduce this week's guests with a S for a creatively composed, colorfully cosmopolitan, consequentially cordial, charming conversation with coastal community celebrities.
Dang, we will save the last segment of our weekly show for some good humor.
Oh, yeah.
Clean of very super funny jokes and contemplative wise quotes. And all of this is starting right now on the Doc and Jock Show.
Okay, but before I got a shout out to so many listeners that are really our growing listenership. And I mean, Janice is always there, Kelly, Victoria, Annie and John, Dave. It just goes on and on and on. Thank you for getting back to us and saying that you're listening to this show. We truly appreciate it. Okay, that's my cue to kick off this week's topic of MDGG, our medical dialogue, according to my German-born, patent-holding research scientist and practicing family physician, known to many of you as Dr. Gigi Reed. What have you got for us today, Doug?
Well, thank you. Today, we will talk about bone health.
I thought you were going to say heart.
That was with Nick Rail.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, bone health, okay.
Bone health, the bone.
All right.
Okay, here are some fun stats and facts about bones. The adult human body has 206 bones.
I got three. Skull, torso, and feet, right?
Nice. Okay, you wouldn't make it in anatomy.
Okay, sorry.
How many do you think we're born with, Wolf?
How many do we have now in my
206, body? Except for you have three.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to say, I know it's more. I'm going to say 500.
300, close. Okay.
We start with 300?
We start with 300. We end up with 206. We don't lose them, but we fuse them.
The ones in your skull, the sutures that we all have. Ray has a bunch more.
Okay. There are 26 bones in the human foot.
Whoa.
Each.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, right? The human hand, including the wrist, has 54.
54?
So, yeah.
In each hand?
Yeah. So both hand and feet together are more than half of our bones.
Wow. That's
pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that is different.
The femur, or the thigh bone, is the longest and strongest bone of the human skeleton. Although there's something, some other sources say it's the jawbone that is actually
the strongest. I got my anatomy training from that little game back in the day. It used to light up. It was called Operation. You had to pick up the bones out of the body parts. And if you did, the guy's nose would blow up.
And how often did you play that game?
Quite often. Is the nose considered a bone? Are there bones in the nose?
Well, there's the nasal bone. Yeah, so there's the nose that we know is cartilage mostly.
Okay, cool.
The stapes.
The stapes. I know what that is.
Yeah, what?
It's right next to the femur. That's the smallest. That's the smallest one. The femur's the biggest, and the stapes are the little tiny ones inside your eyeball.
In the middle ear.
On your ear.
Yeah, so there's three. But anyway, stapes is the tiniest one in the middle ear. It's the smallest and lightest bone of the human skeleton. And actually, when you look into somebody's ear with a...
Yeah, you got one of those machines, those little things up here.
You can actually see it a little bit.
Why do doctors look into your ears?
Is this a joke or is it a real...
No, what do you mean? Stop. I mean, why do you look in my ear all the time? Every night, it's like, let me see. She has these big machines that go in my ear.
Okay, so what you want to see is a nice light reflex in there, and you want to have a shiny eardrum so then you know you don't have an ear infection, or you can see a lot on the eardrum. You can see if there's earwax cerumen in there. That's why you maybe can't hear because it's all full of stuff.
Are you saying I can't hear? I just selective hearing.
Now, arm fractures account for almost half of all adults' broken bones.
Wow, and I'm looking at this arm.
Yeah,
he has a horrible scar that's about, I don't know, 12.
Wow, and he says that on Valentine's Day?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll kiss it. It's about 12 inches long. It's a big thing. Because you got a big metal plate in your arm.
I do have
shattered it.
Yep, I just, 3 years ago, 2020, I did that.
Wow.
Now, the collarbone or clavicle is the most commonly broken bone amongst children.
Two of my college career football, I played flag football, had broken collarbones.
Yeah.
So it breaks pretty easy. Why?
Because it's so thin.
Oh, and it runs across. Kind of, but your ribs, I've broken ribs before. That's
yeah, they're very painful.
Mm-hmm.
Bones stop growing in length during puberty.
Okay.
Bone density and the strength of the bones changes throughout our life.
Okay.
It gets thicker and stronger and then weaker.
What did you say the biggest bone was a trombone? Okay. I'm sorry.
I thought that was funny.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Now, this is a cool one. The only bone in the human body not connected to another bone is the hyoid. The hyoid bone is right there.
In your throat?
In your throat, and that supports the tongue. So the hyoid bone is only connected to ligaments and tendons and the tongue. So that one is not connected to other bones. Every other bone is connected to another bone. So we can make joint.
Okay, so if you grab my tongue and pull it really hard, could it actually break the hyoid bone? I mean, technically?
I don't know, but I do know when they don't know necessarily if they find somebody murdered and they look at the hyoid bone, if that one is broken, that's a strangulation.
Oh, they've been strangling.
Yeah.
It's horrible. By the way, what is the tongue is a muscle.
Yeah.
And why do doctors have you stick out your tongue?
So sometimes they have you stick out the tongue because they want to see what the covering is. If it's dry, if it has a red covering, if it's white covering, it can indicate certain diseases if you're dry. But in real life, that's part of it. But when they say, ah,
yeah,
that's because the tongue actually goes down in the back only when you say the ah, so we can look in the back. We can see
like
the muscles and the uvula.
Ah, yeah. That's cute.
Well, that's so cute.
Yeah, okay.
Now, there's something that a lot of people don't know.
What's that?
The sesamoid bones. The sesamoid bones, we have about 42, are bones that we're not born with.
Wait a minute. You're not born with certain bones?
Right, with the sesamoid
bones. We have over 300 bones, I thought you said, when you're born, but there's some that aren't there.
Right. So the one most known is?
I know, elbows.
The kneecap,
oh,
right?
Darn, it was close.
So the kneecap is a bone that develops later from stress of using the tendons and moving it, and so it makes itself stronger and develops a bone. Pretty cool, right? Bones are made out of calcium, phosphorus, sodium, and collagen.
Wow.
Collagen is a protein that makes, you know, when people get collagen injections in their lips, so it look like that.
Why are skeletons afraid of everything?
Why?
Because they don't got no guts. Okay, that one bailed. Ray Gary just left the building. Throw a fit.
Bones allow the body parts to move, hence joints, right? They protect organs. That's our rib cage.
Yeah.
And they also, like we learned the other week, form our blood. Bone marrow.
Oh, that's right. Janice was correct on that one. She said that's where all of our blood is made inside of our bones, which are so thick that makes no sense to me, but that's okay.
That's all right. Bones are pound per pound, four times stronger or resilient than concrete.
Oh.
So I have no idea why I broke my bone because I fell on concrete. Something is not right.
That's hard. It's okay if you say so, Doug.
Our skeleton renews every 3 months.
Wait a minute. Important factor,
yeah.
Crabs, you know, they molt.
Well, no.
Snakes lose their skin.
Yeah, but bones are cycled. So we have bone-producing cells and bone-breaking-down cells, osteoblasts and osteoclasts, and they're busy all the time. They're busy. Now, in age, the osteoclasts, the bone-breaking-down cells, are more active than the baby-making cells, the osteoblasts, the bone-making cells. So you can activate your osteoblast by weight-bearing exercises. That's what they all say. Do weight-bearing exercises.
Because so that, the skeleton is built for punishment, right?
Yeah,
it's built to be our forebears were kind of like out there being chased by, you know, all sorts of things in the night.
Spiders?
No.
Who do you think can have more than 600 bones?
I know.
Yeah?
Has more than 600 bones.
Yeah, who?
I just said it.
Okay.
Pythons.
Yes, the python. Can actually, python has, the longer they grow, the more bones they have. I actually read, we read 600, but I read, when I looked it up again, 1,500 even.
Okay, here, let me open my box. Open my paper bag. It's one of my gifts for you. Here you go. Come on. Come on, Cupid. I have a boa in here. Come on. Come on, Cupid. That's his name. I want to show you Cupid. I'll stay in the bag for now.
All right. Let's talk about very teeny tiny briefly about some diseases. And Jackie actually thought this was a snoozer fact, but probably because he's a guy. There's osteopenia and osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is mainly a disease of women, hence his snoozing. But
thanks a lot.
When women reach menopause or they're postmenopausal, their bone density goes down the drain. Very often, not always, but very often.
Well, childbearing drains a lot of calcium from a woman's body, no? Okay, I know.
Okay, yeah, but might. But they're still growing bone as well. Anyway, so that's why we test for osteoporosis. We tested with a DEXA scan to test for the bone density.
Oh, I know why you're this. I found it kind of boring when you were going over a little bit the other night. But you said you see a lot of patients in your clinic that are...
We
elderly?
Test everybody, well, if they want to, in the annual wellness visit for Medicare, we ask them, do you want to be tested for osteoporosis? Because falling and breaking a bone is bad for the health. Some people don't regroup, and it's costly for the hospitals. And then they're maybe out of work, or they have to be taken care of. So it's better to preemptively see how your bones are and then get medicated if needed.
Cool.
And so this is one more thing I want to say. The cool thing, when I said before, bones consist out of phosphate, calcium. There is a treatment called Fosamax or alendronate or some in that group. They give you, instead of a little phosphate, they give you a twin phosphate. So the twin phosphate will actually get put into the bone, which works okay. But then the bone down breakdown cells cannot take it up. So it's an elegant solution. You're making a bone that cannot be broken down. Isn't that cool?
That's pretty cool. Coming from an identical twin, you have your sister, Rika, who's listening.
Yeah.
She's in Australia listening to this program. Hey, yeah, Rika. Welcome. All right. Well, very, very interesting.
Yeah,
here.
Cool, right?
Wait a minute. Let me see about Cupid here. Let me reach into the bag here. Okay, Cupid. Hey, by the way, do you know what Cupid's favorite rock band is?
What?
Kiss.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Doc. That was fascinating. I appreciate those facts about bones, bone health, skeletons. Today's Doc and Jock show is a unique one because we are having one guest come back for a second time, mainly to catch up on what he is doing and how his unique foundation is growing every day. The second guest is a man who is a friend of the first aforementioned and a guy who plays an integral part at Brookings Harbor High School Cerebral Consciousness. Both of these gentlemen know the other, and they work in consensus for our musically inclined youth and general community folks. Before I introduce them, I wish to pose this question to all of our listeners out there. Where would you be without music? What would our human species be like without melodies to make us sing along joyfully or nostalgically, capture past memories through its magical portals? Think about it. Music affects all of us. From the time we are born with our mothers singing nursery songs in our ears to the time of our deaths when choirs sing in lament of our passing, music is everything and anything that encompasses the lyrical structures of instruments and vocal assets individually or in composition with one another. So without any more contemplative verbiage from me, Dr. Gigi and I wish to give a very warm welcome to our returning guest, Mr. Nick Rayo and Mr. Corey Tamandong. Welcome, gentlemen.
You both.
Thanks for having us.
What's going on?
All right. Well, let's start with Corey. He's a new guy. Where did you grow up?
I was raised in Rancho Cucamonga, California. So that is in Southern California, in the Inland Empire, about 30, 40 miles east of Los Angeles.
Okay. I've never heard that. Where did you go to college and what did you study?
So I left Rancho Cucamonga because from August to September, sometimes in October, it's over 100 for months on end. And I'm not a fan of that. So I decided to go as far away from that as possible, but stay in California so I can still go back and visit family because I love them. But Humboldt State University is the university I went to just a couple hours south of here.
Yeah, very nice. And what did you study?
So I majored in music education. And after I finished my music education degree, I got my single subject secondary teaching credential in music, although I can teach kindergarten through or preschool all the way through college with that degree, was where I got my first degree and credential. And then I got my graduate degree through the American Band College through Central Washington University. They have a satellite campus in Ashland. So I have a master's in music education as well.
Whoa, yeah, you got a master's.
Now, how long have you lived here? Then you lived in Ashland, which is sort of close.
I lived in Arcata.
You lived in Arcata, Ashland.
Ashland was actually, while I lived in Brookings, I would go over in the summertime for the program. It's meant to be, you do your degree while you're still teaching so that you can improve your music program.
Yes.
That's a really great degree. I lived in Arcata for a while. So this is, I think my, 2024? This is my 12th year living in this coast area. So I've lived here for quite a while.
Okay. And what do you like best about Brookings?
So much. I mentioned that I'm not a huge fan of over 100 degree weather. Yeah. So
I wonder why.
I love that it's temperate all year. I mean, when I was in Eugene a few weeks ago during their snowstorm, and I felt what 18 felt like for the first time. That was awful. It's always in the 50s here, you know? I don't have to worry about being way too cold or way too hot. Even on Chaco effect days, those are kind of nice, you know? So, love the climate. I fish. So, this was a big draw for me was we're nestled here where there's the Winchuck, the Chaco. I can go fish in the Smith if I wanted to. There's the whole coastline. And I drive around and do all that all the time. So,
hey, so you fish, but do you actually, okay, here's a complaint. My nephew, he's a fisherman. He's there's no fish up here. I go, are you kidding me? This is fisherman's paradise. But he says, no, he fishes a lot, but he catches very little.
I also catch very little, but I don't care. It's great. It's just beautiful. It's fun to do.
Going out in nature.
I catch every once in a while, and that makes it great. But being out in the nature is awesome. I also love hiking, utilizing the rivers. I spend all of my summer on the Smith of the Checo, just out there.
You're a healthy guy. How old are you?
I am 31.
Okay. Good. You're like a healthy, very healthy, you're not young, you're not elderly, you're just the perfect age. We always wish.
No osteoporosis yet.
What do you wish, having lived around at those various places, what do you wish that we had in this area that we don't have now?
I don't really wish anything because I can go visit whenever I visit my family or go traveling or whatever. I can go access restaurants or amenities I don't get here, but I wish, I don't know.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
Okay. You are an accomplished, you've got a great background as we'll be finding out more about you. And for 31 years, you've packed a lot in there. So good for you. What's your official job title, Corey?
Music teacher or director of music at Brookings Harbor High School.
So you're the main honcho there at the high school. Does that encompass band?
So I teach one band one introduction to instruments course where I teach intro to orchestra and band, a jazz band, a string orchestra, two choirs, and sometimes other things. But
wait, so choir singing?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. So oh, cool. Multiple choirs, band, choir, orchestra, and jazz. One of everything.
Wow.
What or instruments multiple. Do you play, actually?
I had to play all of them to graduate from my music program. So I know how to play everything except my weakest instrument is the guitar. I can play violin, viola, cello, bass fine when it comes to strings, but I can't play the guitar. I'm really bad at it.
Your hands look normal in there.
It's yeah. No, it's just, I can get chord shapes and stuff, but switching from chord to chord is clunky and I don't practice it enough. So, but my favorite instruments to play, the ones I play the most are the bass, trombone, and the bassoon.
There it is. There's that bone. Yeah, the trombone.
Yep. There we go. Theme of the day.
Yeah. Nice. Do you play the cornet?
No, he did. I play a little trumpet and cornet when I need to, but I'm not the best at it. It's another one of my weaker instruments.
No, what was the first?
A little trumpet. Right.
What was the first instrument you have ever played?
I started singing in before I was even in school. My parents put me in community choir. Huh. So I started singing at a very early age, and then I did choir in elementary school. But they also put me up for piano lessons from second grade onward until, funny enough, my first instrument was the trumpet in fifth grade band. But I played it only in fifth grade and then switched to the bassoon in sixth grade and then never played the trumpet again until college. So all of the above, piano, I guess.
Hey, how do you get along with Tristan Harkins, the principal?
I love that guy.
Isn't he a good guy?
We had
him, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Then we got on you. You are a very busy man. I know that. We try to reach out for you, and I've tried to reach out to Daniel. Daniel Sedgwick, down in Crest City, hard people. And then this gentleman sitting next to you, Nick Rail, says at a cocktail mixer we had last week at the Chamber of Commerce at the hospital, Sutter Coast and Crescent City, I said, what is it with these band people? Come on. I mean, they're not getting back to me and whatnot.
Sorry about that.
And that's okay. No, that not that, but Daniel Sedgwick didn't show up for my This was at KFUG, Crescent City. He never showed up for the interview. It happens. Anyway, I'm not going to
say more later.
So with that being said, the guy that came to your rescue and said you're extremely busy, which we know you are with all the things you have said you do is Nick Rail. Welcome, Nick.
Yes.
Welcome back.
It's the second time. Woohoo.
Well, it's such a pleasure to know that if an adult beverage happens to go to my head, I can just say, it's the collagen.
That's true. Good to see you.
High value.
How's everything with Nick these days?
Life is good. That mixer was fun.
Yeah.
At the hospital, welcoming the new CEO, executive director there, and bidding a fond adieu to Mitch Hanna. And,
yes.
Wishing him well. And in passing, the nonprofit that I founded and chair, the Partnership for the Performing Arts, is endorsed by Sutter Health.
Yeah.
And we're very proud of that.
Sure.
And just telling Corey before we sat down here yesterday, I was down in Eureka and had a meeting with the Dean of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences at Cal Poly Humboldt to learn more about their music program and how we can build the strongest bridges between Curry Del Norte high school programs and the university that many of us will always think it's Humboldt State, but it's now called
Cal Poly Humboldt.
Right. Yeah, it always sticks.
California Polytechnic Humboldt, so Cal Poly Humboldt.
But Cal Poly was always down in what am I thinking?
Pomona and San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, San Luis Obispo.
Which Cal Poly's are members of the CSU system, but they're California Polytechnics have been considered to have programs that go above and beyond the standard public school. So Humboldt was recognized recently for their science programs, their natural sciences, especially like world-class forestry, marine biology, stuff that you can't study anywhere else because the climate around Humboldt is so unique.
Wow. How about CSU? I'm a Chico graduate. That's not a Cal Poly.
Though. No.
No. They parted too much, or they did back in my day.
That's they still do.
Nick, what are new developments on this whole collaboration and PPA?
Going out and meeting people, and we're working now on state and federal government, working on getting a federal appropriation for the our flagship project for the Partnership for the Performing Arts, which in partnership with Del Norte Unified School District is building an 800-seat Center for the Performing Arts on the Del Norte High School campus, which we have thoroughly erased the state line. The center has to be somewhere, but the Del Norte High School and then Brookings Harbor High School have first shot at the calendar when the center opens in 2028.
You know, we drove by there yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
And we're saying, where will they build
it? Is it like behind the stadium as you're driving on, what is it, Washington?
And yeah, so you pass the stadium and there's tennis courts and a gravel parking lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where the center will be. The tennis courts will become a new parking lot and the tennis courts will be moved to the southeast portion of the campus and have be a gazebo design, so open sides but a roof so the kids can play tennis most of year round.
Oh,
so big step up for the tennis program in high school there.
Yeah. Cool.
So when is groundbreaking again?
Groundbreaking is in June of 2026, open the doors 2028, dependent on one's...
And you're going to be standing there with a welcoming... glass of
Lisa, and his wife.
Yes, yeah, yes. Lisa, I'll be standing there with a welcome sign, or somebody will be pointing to a coffee can and saying, "Nick says hello." Who knows? We'll find out. I'll be 78 at that point, and
you're looking good, Nick. You're looking good. How much money have you raised so far?
Not enough. So
not enough.
We need to raise more. So we have a team now working on this federal appropriation back in Washington D.C. We should be meeting soon with U.S. Congressman Jared Huffman of Northern California, and good chance we'll get a federal appropriation there. And they've also promised to walk us down every aisle at the fundraising grocery store in Washington, D.C. so that we can knock on all the other appropriate doors. So
we need to tag along with it for our Blue Glove of Love Foundation. We want to find
and hand in hand with that, because at this center, although it's in Del Norte County, it will also be a gift to and of service to Curry County.
It has to be located somewhere.
Yes. I expect that I will be meeting soon with state government and U.S. government representatives for the state of Oregon.
Yeah, very nice.
Whisper in their ear and tell them about great things to come.
Yeah. Now, how do you know Curry now?
Corey, how do I know Corey? Back in the day, right? So
Nick Rails Music franchise down in Southern California was one that I actually visited as a child in my own music program.
Man, that's interesting.
Our kids now have these Nick Rail folders for Nick Rail Music, and I used to have them too back in my day. So I knew him by name, and he actually came into my high school. I remember seen him a couple times when they would do instrument repair or instrument rentals. But our connection actually comes from Dan Sedgwick at Del Norte, even closer. I student taught with Dan Sedgwick at Del Norte, and Nick and I met through him, but I don't know if Nick told you the history between them.
Yeah, last time we filled up with some of it, but if you want to fill in any spots, you can.
Nick Rail went to Del Norte High School, then started that franchise in Santa Barbara. Daniel Sedgwick, the director of Del Norte High School's bands, was born and raised in Santa Barbara, and then worked at Nick Rail's store, and then connected that to him going eventually to Humboldt State, also like myself, eventually coming back and teaching at Del Norte High School, where Nick and him, or where he found like a plaque in the back of the room that said Nick Rail on it in the 1960s, and he calls him up because that's his old boss, right? And them close family friend. And he said, "Why is your name on this plaque back here in this building?" And he said, "I went to that school." And then he looked through the yearbook and he found him there. Then Fast forward to my student teaching with Dan. Dan introduced us again at CASMEC, the California All-State Music Education Conference. And then from then on, we communicated and talked and talked and talked. And yeah.
Okay. We'll get right back to this conversation, but I want to break in here to say we're already at that halfway mark. Amazing how fast this time goes. You're tuned into KCIW LP 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon, and you are listening to this week's edition, Valentine's Day edition of Doc and Jacques here on 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon. We are proudly a non-commercial, non-community radio station. And regardless, if you sing, you do have a community voice like KCIW. Find out more about it by going to kciw.org today. I cut that short because this is an interesting story. So you're down in Del Norte County. You're at the Warriors of the Del Norte High School. It's been there a long time, just like BHHS has been here in Brookings. And you then got together, but then you moved on then to... You got hired.
I was student teaching with Dan Sedgwick there. He was my mentor teacher. So I was looking for a job. I wanted to stay in this community. And I ended up meeting my predecessor, Greg Good, who still does music down in Crescent City through a community choir. And I went up to him and I said, I like your school. I want your job. And he said, you know, I'm actually looking to move on. And he now works as a teacher at the prison. And it was just great timing that I came in when he was ready to leave. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
How many students are enrolled in the Brookings Harbor High School band?
My band itself, in the fall, we had 53. Currently, we have 42 because in the fall, we have marching band. In the spring, it's concert band. So enrollment shifts when we don't have the same color guard students and the like. But in orchestra, depending on the semester, I've got 20 to 30. In choir, I've got a couple choirs. I've got about 50-something enrolled in the choirs. And then jazz band is 16.
16? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, we went to this Warrior football game last year, and they had the little... I don't know what they're called.
In Del Norte, yeah.
The twirly people?
So those are color guard. They spin flags, right?
Yeah. So are they part of the band?
Yeah, so color guard is a unit within the marching band.
Uh-huh.
It's the visual aspect to what we do for our marching band field shows.
Yeah.
But they also do their own competitive season in the winter into spring called Winter Guard, where they perform shows to canned music and... do choreography and artistic dance and stuff. Super awesome.
Any crazy stories about that? I mean, it must be, what's it like dealing with exuberant marching, dressed up in wonderful uniforms, boom, boom, boom. It must be a trip.
High school music kids are a little crazy and they're funny. I mean, there's countless stories, but I mean, a good example is just yesterday was Mardi Gras, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday, our school, because it was Mardi Gras, did a crawdad boil.
Oh, cool. Cool, Louisiana.
And my band student, took ate half of his crawdad. And then we have a bunch of little mini instruments. He named it Mardi Gras, is the name of this here. And he has it playing
instrument.
A violin,
instrument.
A little bassoon.
He's showing us pictures of a crawdad, a cooked crawdad at that.
Playing instrument.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like that crawdad if I forget to bring you a card.
Well done.
A cologne and some flowers.
That's the great. I like the violin.
That is different.
I mean, my students are really goofy and they do stuff like that all the time. And the same stuff happens at Del Norte music kids when I was in high school too. I'm sure high school you got up to some hijinks.
Yeah.
But they're goofy, but they have a good heart.
Good. I finally graduated from high school this spring.
Now, Nick, how much do you actually see what is going on? Do you work together with Corey at all?
I drop in from time to time. Yeah. And whenever I drop into the high school here, Corey is so gracious because all came in on a piece of business, a discussion, something. Maybe the Partnership for the Performing Arts is making a gift to the program, something like that.
Yeah.
Talking over the logistics of it. Neil said, well, you're not leaving until you listen to us perform.
All right.
And we've got time for you to hear one song, and then three songs later.
Never fails.
That's always a treat, because at the end of the day, if we don't take care of our youth, what's right. our future looking like?
Yeah.
So to see it happening in real time is
and great. And you teach, reiterate there's a bit of your story, you teach the art of instrument repair, and kids are learning this trade, right?
Well, I don't teach it. Dan Sedgwick, the band director at Del Norte High School, worked for me for six summers down in Santa Barbara.
At one of your stores,
and I taught him the basics of band instrument repair. And that was his final summer when he came in, said, it's my final summer here. I've got my teacher credential. I got a job. It's not nowhere, but you can see it from there. It's a place called Crescent City, Del Norte High School. And they said, well, Dan, that is where I went to school. So Dan teaches the program, and we started that program with five students. We had got permission from Del Norte High School to start a class with five students, and now we have a 20 by 50 square foot building and eight repair stations, two classes a day in band instrument repair, and kids are graduating, going off to technical school, getting jobs out in the field. So
wow.
Wait, that's down in Crescent City, or do you also have that here?
That's in Crescent City. Corey has some repair expertise of his own,
okay.
And he has a student.
Yeah.
He's wiggling his hand like so.
School now, right?
No, he's graduated for Tim's Music in Sacramento now.
That's right.
He graduated from that Renton Technical College.
Yes.
Yeah. So one of my students went through
so
a technical
cool.
training program and is now
if you can
at a shop.
Now we have this upright.
I'm going to bring that up.
So he started, he went to YouTube and he learned how to
tune
it. And he only broke one string so far. It was like,
piano tuning is a whole different beat.
I don't like it's a 1908 upright. I just don't like the ting ding. It's like a tingly dingly a little. It just doesn't have the sound that I want. What's the biggest challenge you face, Corey, in teaching band? What's one of the biggest challenges?
This is my sixth year doing it, so it's getting easier. So not so much. I'm just kidding. Teenagers are hard to wrangle sometimes, especially this generation are so attached to their phones.
Yeah.
It's hard to get them to focus for too long on one thing.
Yeah.
But I would say they don't practice enough. No matter what I try to do for that kind of culture, they're starting to get a lot better about it, and we're working towards some stuff. I don't know. It's not the worst. I'm grasping at straws here for that. They're doing good.
Do you travel out to parades and things like that?
Not parades as much, but I mean, we just finished our third overnight away out of state trip in the last month.
Whoa.
This last weekend.
Where'd you go?
This last weekend we went to Humboldt, Cal Poly Humboldt do the Humboldt All County Festival, which is Del Norte, Trinity, Humboldt, Curry, and Mendocino County schools.
Cool.
Come together and play in a band, choir, orchestra, and a jazz band all together. So I just took my kids there.
So you went with a jazz band?
Oh, no, a band, choir, orchestra, and jazz. I took kids for everything. And we all played with all these kids from all over Northern California.
Overnighter.
And then a couple weeks before that, I took my jazz band and my jazz choir to the Folsom Jazz Festival down in Sacramento. Wow. That was a four-day trip down in Sacramento. And then a bit before that, we went to Eugene for All-State music conference for me, I had several students make it into the All-State ensemble, so they had to audition and beat out all the other students in the state of
Oregon.
So we travel a lot. For marching band competitions, we go to Portland or Grants Pass or Eugene.
That is unique. You know what? I never thought about that. A musical director like yourself gets to travel a lot versus a mathematics teacher, English teacher, somebody like Janice, or just going to be hanging out at the school most of the time,
I spend most of my time outside of the building.
Have you experienced or do you agree that students who play musical instruments or sing are better students overall? Is that what you find?
Yeah, I mean, the statistic is there. It does exist, and it's true. But my best students are the best students in the school are more often than not in a music class. Last year, for example, you know, they had four valedictorians because they all had the same GPA.
Oh, wow.
Four of them were my orchestra.
Oh, wow.
I think this year, several of my music students are also competing for valedictorian. So
nice.
It's not, you know, it helps. It really does.
Nick Rail, you are a benefactor of many of the arts. And I know whether you want to say this, I will say it for you. When we were given a quick tour of Corey's facilities there at BHHS, many of the instruments have been donated to BHHS by who? You.
Yep.
It's possible. Just in passing, a student in band that goes through, is enrolled in band, scores 15% higher on SATs.
Oh, regarding her, which he asked, are they better students?
Likely to go to college.
No. Yeah.
So.
No, yeah. Why is that? Because they are musically inclined or just because they have a work ethic that is different because you have to sit down and actually practice?
It's both, right?
It's both. It's things that happen neural, right? As you grow, your brain shaped in different ways, shapes and forms. It's the value of a family that is formed outside your primary family for some of the kids.
Yeah. True.
At risk. The band is their primary family. They have a reason to want to focus and work together and be a team. So,
but you have given a lot of instruments to.
When I was a kid, and when I started out in band in the Paleozoic back in 1959, and my little elementary school offered band for the first time, my parents could not afford an instrument for me. They figured out how to do it, and I still don't know how they did that. So, to be able to provide both to Delwart Unified and to Brookings Harbor School District, enough instruments so that kids who want to participate won't be denied the opportunity due to the lack of an instrument. That's a big deal for me. That's a personal win.
That's a big deal what he does, right, Corey?
Oh, yeah.
What Nick Rail is doing, he's bringing in instruments.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go spend funding on those instruments, or I don't know if you're buying them or what, but I think they're donated, are they not? Are they?
Yeah. Within the last few years here, Nick's dropped, I don't know the exact number, but like...
More than one?
Oh, yeah.
Over 75.
Five trombones, three, four, seven trumpets.
A trombone.
Several saxophones, 18 violins, just an insane amount of things that he's... the way he did it, too, he's like, hey... come on by my house at some point. I've got a couple things I wanted to, you know, I've got these instruments and they need a place to be. And he takes me into his garage and he's like, you need one of these? You need one of these? You need one of these? Wow. And I took a picture of it. I think I left with like, you know, this is for the district. It's not just for my building, but I think we left with like 30 instruments. This is last year. It was amazing.
Yeah,
well, and 30 grand worth of instruments.
30 grand worth of instruments.
There you
and
go.
It was just, you know, that doesn't happen.
It's, right?
He does amazing stuff. Yeah. Not, it's unheard of.
Nice job.
You have already answered one of the questions, and that I was, one of my questions I had for you was, why don't they have vocal section in band? But you're saying you also teach the choir.
I teach the choir. And I in my jazz band, too, I do have a voice, a vocal part.
Oh, just cool. Simple
jazz stuff.
Now, we were talking just yesterday how we both, Jack and I, we both, when we were younger, wanted to play the violin. And I'm thinking I would have been the most inappropriate violin player because I don't need read notes and stuff like that. So do you have non-talented people who want to play?
I don't believe in having, you know, my music ensembles based off of if you can play or not, you're allowed to do it. I think anyone can do music. I firmly believe inclusivity and that anyone can develop that talent over time. And I mean, if you don't know how to play a violin, I'll teach you. It might take longer, but you know, we'll get there. Also, on that note, a lot of people believe that they're tone deaf and they can't sing.
Yeah.
And I think it's something like a ridiculously low percent of the population is actually tone deaf,
yeah,
that actually can't perceive pitch. So people are just, it just takes some people longer to match pitch than others.
Yeah.
So,
but you can master it at some point.
Practice makes you perfect. You don't know how to catch a football necessarily the first time where to throw it, right? But mm-hmm. you practice it, you can do it better.
Exactly.
And you now practice singing, you can sing better, so forth and so on.
What's the best part of teaching music for either one, for both of you?
Seeing the kids get it.
Yeah.
Like we just did our performances for that All County Festival I was talking about. The energy that the kids have after they finish those performances is just phenomenal.
Wow.
And because they did the thing and they're like really proud of themselves and they realize that the work that they did paid off and it all came together in the end. It's always super rewarding to see that.
Nice.
But you, Nick?
And I'll put it in a little bit different frame.
Okay.
So here we have the students at Brookings Harbor High School in the music department. Let's fast forward to their 90 years old. They got their quilt. They got their rocking chair. They're in the old folks' home. And you're interviewing them for KCIW, right?
Yeah, there we go.
And you ask them, well, bless you, what about your first grade? I don't remember my first grade teacher. How about second, third, fourth? Do you remember their name? No, maybe Fred something. Well, how about your band director? Corey Tamendorf.
Yeah, right.
Was the best.
There we go.
And that happens. That really happens.
Wow.
The memories that are created in bands stay with the kids and become part of their social fabric and leads them to success in their adult life.
Yeah, it changed your life, as we detailed in our last conversation with you here on Jacques and Doc, or Doc and Jacques, and you told about how it totally transformed. It was a break of the path of your life, and it went off into music, and you never were the same.
Yes.
Yeah. I think part of it is also, like you said, the family. It's a family outside of the family. It harbors security and success.
So
nice.
She just asked, what's the best part of it? What's the next part of it?
Part?
Yeah, what's the worst part of being a band teacher?
Oh, I hate mornings.
You hate what?
You hate mornings?
Yeah.
That's right. You got to be there early. Right?
It's not too early. 8's not bad, but I would rather school started at 9 or 10, but mornings aren't great. And then the other thing is I hate paperwork.
Nah.
I want to just do the thing. I just want to teach the kids, you know, but I've got to do all the paperwork to make it happen. What else don't I like about it? I don't know. I think it's just the paperwork and getting up early, but there's so much to do when I'm organizing my department and making sure that I can schedule all of these events for each of these parts of the department. Because most schools, they only do one band director, one choir director, one orchestra. I do all of it and I have to coordinate everything. So it takes a lot of work, but I find that kind of exciting, organizing all that. It just...
So you're on your own. You don't have...
I don't have a co-teacher. Yeah.
Teachers help.
I used to have a piano accompanist. I don't have that anymore either. I ask volunteers to come in from time to time, but that's about all the help I get. We do have a middle school and elementary school music program, but they don't work directly in my building.
Do you work with SWAC or Southwest?
No, I don't. I don't think that our SWAC here has any music classes anymore.
It's a college, a community college here.
Yeah, but the SWAC up in Coos Bay, I believe, did.
That's the main campus, but we do have this one here. And that's interesting. I don't think, we've got a tour from Jill Tivaldi. She was on our show a few weeks ago, too, the dean of Southwest Oregon Coastal Community College. And,
We did.
They don't have band. They don't have any band. Anything
put
like
a good
that.
Word in.
Yeah. Good recording.
So how is money raised for the high school music and band programs, if you like, for the outfits? And we know about the instruments there being taken care of.
Our uniforms have not been changed since 1996. They smell falling apart.
No,
they're really bad. We've been putting that forth in communication with our district. So our district is actually paying for brand new uniforms. They'll be here this year.
Oh.
Within the next few months here. They should be here in May, hopefully, in time for the Azalea Parade.
Oh, cool.
But other stuff has to come out of my classroom budget. But other than that, there's a foundation that exists that just was started up around COVID by a group of my students' parents and community members. called the Bruin Music Foundation that does a lot of work outside of the school for me without me having to be a part of it.
Nice.
They just do a lot of fundraising with the students and raise funding that way. And then sometimes we do stuff through the school and we fundraise by doing, like today, I spent 5.5 hours singing, doing Valentunes.
Valentunes.
It's what they're
Valentunes,
called.
And
we
I like it.
Go for, we, people pay for us to go room to room and go embarrass kids, and it's super fun.
So the majority of fun music, is the music department funded like sports?
No, it's different. We do get a classroom budget. And in the past few years, we had some grant money come our way, but for the most part, we've got to do some stuff on our own.
Now, I know in other schools, or when my son was in school, if you wanted to have an outfit like a band, something or other, or you can get an instrument, but you had to pay something.
No,
you don't have to pay anything.
We don't charge anything for instruments, for rentals, ever. Sometimes the kids can buy their own shirts for like band and for our basketball band and everything.
Uh-huh.
There's stuff through Custom Apparel, which used to be called Thrifty Sneakers. I think it's called Custom Apparel. I don't know. I should know this, but they provide a shirt for us to buy.
Cool. We are getting close to that time. I'm telling you guys, we've had a fluid, good conversation here. Gigi and Nick and Corey. Corey, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Hopefully up the North Bank a little bit. I want to get a property up there and homestead as
cool.
Cause my passion outside of teaching music is gardening, and I want to have my own plot of land to raise chickens and ducks and and grow my own food and be close to the river. So
you want any parrots? She raises parrots too.
I'm good on parakeets. But yeah, hopefully, you know, with
the North Bank here in
yeah, you know, I mean, I want to retire here, so I want to make sure, you know, and keep the music department growing. 5 years from now, I'd like, you know, instead of, I think I have about 10% of the student body, I want like 25 or more.
What big events are coming up? Anything happening soon?
This is the best part of the year for me because we actually have a month and a half where we have relatively few things going on, and I can just teach them how to get better with what we're doing before we have festival season. Our Winter Guard is going to be traveling to Grants Pass and Salem to do competitions in March, but in April, we're doing OSA band and choir competitions. Our orchestra is going to the Newport Youth Symphony Festival up in Newport. We're doing our home concerts, and all that stuff doesn't happen until, you know, we'll do the Azalea Parade in May, and then June, we'll have home concerts.
Azalea Parade. Mm-hmm. Nick, what's going on PPA? Any big events coming up? Any mixers, networking?
All kinds of irons in the fire all the time. We were just working last week on looking forward to August 17th when we'll have the Lucky 7 PPA Benefit Car Show, our second annual there. One thing I want to say before we sign off is with my 50 years in music retail in Southern California and the relationships that I had with so many different high school band directors, we cannot begin to believe how fortunate we are to have Corey Tamandong teaching the program.
Amen.
That's we are lucky beyond our wildest dreams.
Yeah, and, true.
And you, the kids win.
You've been a man we've vetted out for a long time. You're just hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, you're a big benefactor, and you provide if somebody wants to donate their instruments to you so you can donate it to the schools, how do they get hold of you for that?
There are two ways to get a hold of me other than grab me in the post office or on the street. My cell phone is public. It is 805-331-9194.
That's 805-331-9194. Okay.
And our nonprofit website is ppadelnorte.org.
Partnership for Performing Arts. Wow. Gentlemen, awesome. Thank you so much. Oh, Corey, how does anybody reach out? Just walk in the high school? You can't walk into a high school. You found that out. Yeah. We found that. They stop you at the door, right?
Yes, they do. The best way to get a hold of me is my email.
Okay, what is that?
That's Corey, Coreyt, at brookings.k12.or.us.
Okay, I won't repeat that one again, but
lots of
they can look you up on a directory. I looked
there
you
up go.
On a directory today. Okay, well, thank you both, gentlemen.
Thank you so
hands
much.
Applaud to you both for doing so much in our community here in Brookings,
awesome.
Oregon, and beyond. We are at that time where we got a few minutes left, Doc. So what
about our fun time corner?
Fun time corner. Give me a quote.
A quote. Love is like an hourglass with the heart filling up while the brain empties.
Love is like an hourglass with the heart filling up with the
while the brain empties. Julie Bernard. Yeah.
I told you I almost got arrested for stealing your heart.
Did
you? You know, you know what I'd give you on Valentine's Day in France, Doctor?
What?
A big quiche.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll give you a quote.
All right.
There's truly only one happiness in this life, to love and be loved.
Truly, that's right. I mean, I agree with that. There's only one love. There's only one happiness in this life. Where do you, this is a good one.
Yeah.
Where do you find love? Oh, you're waiting for a good one. Okay. Ray just entered the room again. Where do you find love in a grocery store?
Where?
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Little okay. Frog in my throat, so I can't really laugh so much.
Oh, I like the 100. If you live to be 100, that was a good one.
If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 minus one day, so I never have to live without you.
Oh, isn't that sweet? That is a good one. All right. Why shouldn't you trust a pastry chef on Valentine's Day?
Why, Jackie?
Because they might desert you.
Oh.
She laughs at all of them. She's great. She's my best customer. Ray just left the room again.
Okay. Your love and laughter is a question that I wish to spend the rest of my life answering.
I like that one. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. All right, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Disguise.
Disguise who?
Disguise your Valentine. Yep, I am. Knock, knock.
Yep. Who's there?
Howard.
Howard who?
Howard, you'd like a kiss.
They're probably even less than his high school students. Okay, I'm just saying.
Okay.
He likes many.
Now, here's a very common known one. It's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all.
Yeah, who wrote that one? That was Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Darn toot.
Okay, how about this one? People are weird. When you find someone with weirdness that is similar to yours, they team up and call it love. That's from Dr. Seuss. I love that quote.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that good one? Kind of true.
There's one from Miss Piggy.
What does Miss Piggy say? Oh, this one's a good one. Okay, Miss Piggy, give us that one.
Only time can heal your broken heart. Just like only time can heal his broken nose, arms, and legs.
It's like Kermit. He screwed up. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Don.
Don who?
Don't go breaking my heart. Thanks for laughing at some of these. Hey, what always has a date on Valentine's Day?
What?
Duh, a calendar.
All righty, then. We have reached that magical ending, luckily, ending time for this week's Life Radio Variety Show. You have been listening to Doc and Jacques on KCIW-LP 100.7 FM in beautiful Brookings, Oregon. We thank our fantastic guests.
Yes.
And hope that you have enjoyed the show. Jacques Wolf and I certainly have.
That's right, Doctor. Special thanks to Tom Bozak and Ray and their engineering wizardry at the KCIW studio. And that's about it, folks. Reach out to us on Facebook, and we will see you next week. Peace and love.
Goodbye.